Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at windowskansascity.com.
We'll certainly have plenty of podcasts this fall where we spend a great deal of time breaking down Chiefs games before and after they play, and our college football teams. This is not going to be an in-depth breakdown of what we may see out of the Chiefs on Sunday as they play the Saints at noon in the first preseason game of the year, although we've learned Patrick Mahomes will play in this game a little bit. We try to sort out all the hype of training camp and media coverage, which from the time the Chiefs won the Super Bowl at the end of last year until they take the field on Sunday against the Saints, is nothing but puff pieces. Everything is great. Everything is good. Everything's going to work out. Every new player is better than the last player. You know how this goes. The best part about the first preseason game is we get to start sorting that out. The first thing we'll do is look at the position of wide receiver. The only thing really to look for in this game at the position of wide receiver is which wide receivers are on the field when Patrick Mahomes is playing. We've heard so much about Justin Ross in this camp that, oh, he's got all this talent. He's been injury prone, but my goodness, this guy could be something. We know Kadarius Toney has been hurt. Expect a lot of that this year because that's kind of what Kadarius Toney is. So what will be important to look at is not necessarily who makes the catches or how many passes Mahomes throws. I can't imagine him playing more than one series, even if they go three and out. Just see who lines up with Patrick Mahomes and where they line up. Now, they're not going to show everything. They're not going to show every, you know, formation and things that they do in the regular season. But the players that are out there, it's important. You can even look at a depth chart at Chiefs.com, and sometimes it won't tell you exactly what is going on. There's a lot of bait and switch. There's a lot of coaching going on during training camp. There's motivating some players that they think should be number one on the depth chart that are currently number two or number three, and the other way around. There's players that they know will wind up as a one that maybe are listed as the two. There's all kinds of different things that take place this time of year. The important thing is the Chiefs are basically a three-person football team of givens. We have the head coach, given, Hall of Famer. We have a quarterback, given, Hall of Famer. We have a tight end who's a given Hall of Famer. You would put Chris Jones in that category, but he hasn't come in yet. He may be in by the time you listen to this podcast. He's going to start losing money dramatically if he doesn't get into camp and get ready to play, as they'll start taking game checks away from him, which is a lot different than taking $50,000 a day for not being in camp. So I do think Chris Jones will get here. I think he's going to be a big part of this. And the second thing to watch in this game is who plays on the defensive line, because right now the defensive line's a little scary. Chris Jones isn't in. Charles Omenahu is out the first six games with a suspension. Felix Anudike Ozama, the first-round draft choice from Kansas State, is currently listed third on the depth chart. So he's having growing pains, clearly, in figuring out what's going on. And they'll try to piece this thing together. Right now, who's the best defensive lineman the Chiefs have? George Karlaftis, second-year man. I love the player. I think he's going to be a terrific player for a long time. I don't know that he'll be the superstar that Chris Jones has been, but I think he's going to be a really, really good player in this league for a long, long time, especially playing for the Chiefs, where your opponent frequently is behind in the second half, and it's pure passing situations, and you can rack up sacks and make a lot of money here. This is a great place to play defensive line. You don't have to stop the other team all the time. The Chiefs will always score points, and you rack up individual sack statistics because you're ahead so often. It's a great place to play if you're a defensive lineman. That doesn't change the fact that the Chiefs aren't great there right now. We could see where they'd be greater or certainly much better in December than they are right now if players stay healthy. But those are the two things that I'll be watching in this football game. Who plays at wide receiver when Patrick Mahomes is on the field? And is there any production or anybody that shows any signs of life early in the game against potentially the ones for the Saints on that defensive line? So we'll look to see if anybody makes plays there. But it's live football. I'll watch. I'll start to, you know, develop opinions on what I think the Chiefs will be. You can't just plug and play and say, well, we were the best last year, so we're going to be the best this year. I think it's reasonable to say if Patrick Mahomes plays 14 or 15 games, and we'll hope that he plays 17 in all the playoff games, but if he plays 14 or 15 games, I think it's reasonable to say there's little doubt the Chiefs are going to be one of the seven or eight best teams in the NFL. It is likely if he plays that much that the Chiefs will be one of the top five teams in the NFL, but even having a very good year in a tougher division and by far the toughest conference with a sick schedule the Chiefs are playing. Just the sheer quarterbacks that they're playing against is ridiculous. The league stacks this up against the Chiefs. We frequently saw the New England Patriots deal with this through the years, where they weren't the one seed, and they had to go on the road and win in the playoffs to win the Super Bowl, and they were able to do it. They just couldn't get that one seed because their schedule was so tough because you're playing so many great teams. That's what's ahead of the Chiefs. The biggest question mark, we're not going to learn anything about this Sunday. It's not even a question mark. It's just a question. And it's a legitimate question. The Chiefs had a burning desire after losing a Super Bowl to Tampa in an embarrassing fashion to win another. What they've already accomplished in this era of football is historic. It will be remembered. And it is an era. They've smashed all kinds of records. They've set division records. They've set records for number of AFC title games in a row at home. They've won two Super Bowls. They've been to 3 out of 4. They've made their mark. This will be remembered already as one of the best dynasties or eras of football of all time. They will be. The question, the only question to ask is, how hungry do they remain? How committed and how dedicated? This is a football team with its star players who have spent the offseason living the good life, filming commercials, making money on the side, doing anything you can imagine other than football. They could easily be a distracted bunch. I'm not predicting it. I'm just saying that it's easy to be a distracted bunch. That's why a long training camp and a preseason can be important even for a team like the Chiefs. Refocus, retool, get into your routine, get out of the, we're the king of the world syndrome and everybody loves us, because the other team flat out does not care in the NFL. They don't care if you played golf in Lake Tahoe. They don't care if you were at the ESPYs. They don't care if you won this award or did a State Farm commercial. They don't care if you hosted Saturday Night Live. They don't care if Andy Reid is making TV ads for the first time in his life over at a burger stand, for State Farm. They don't care about any of this. The opponents that play the Chiefs will line up every week, and they will take the best shot of that team. And will the Chiefs be ready for that? We won't be able to answer that until the opener. It's the Lions. It's not something you really circle on the schedule. It's not the game you circle if you're the Chiefs. It's the one you circle if you're the Lions. So that's where the Chiefs start, and they better be ready for a cage fight, because that's what this season will be, and I'm looking forward to seeing them play on Sunday. It's always fun. In another Chiefs note, Missouri Governor Mike Parson was at training camp in St. Joe, where he showed the team in the huddle his new tattoo. Governor Parson has a Chiefs-themed tattoo. It's the first tattoo of his life. Said he was in the Army, and a lot of his buddies got tattoos through the years, but he never got one. And he waited until it was something really special. So he has a State of Missouri, a lightning bolt, and the number 57 on it. Chiefs won Super Bowl 57. So we get all that, and you start to think, well, that's really not maybe that important or whatever. And then he reveals to the media when asked about it that the 57 is that he's the 57th governor in Missouri history, and he received 57% of the vote to get reelected. And the lightning bolt is a tribute to his favorite performer of all time, Elvis Presley, who had a saying, taking care of business in a flash. And so it's an homage to the Chiefs Super Bowl win, Elvis Presley, and the fact that Governor Parson is the 57th governor and got 57% of the vote. That's a pretty cool tattoo. I got to give it up to the governor. That's a pretty cool tattoo. He's been a good governor for Missouri. He's been a very good governor for Missouri. There are some things that I've disagreed with him on. I guess he's close to fully conservative, but, what more can you ask for in the state of Missouri? They've turned the state red. They've made a lot of progress in a lot of ways. They've done a lot of great things statewide under Governor Parson, and we applaud him for the great work that he's done. The state of Missouri for being so conservative, so consistently conservative in the things that they pass, the things that they vote for, and the way Missourians vote. We love the state of Missouri and what's going on in the state of Missouri right now. We congratulate Governor Parson on, I didn't know he's the 57th governor, and I didn't remember he won 57% of the vote, but he loves his Chiefs team, and he showed off a really cool tattoo at training camp. That's pretty cool. In other NFL news, under the headline, you can't make this up, we have the Native American Guardians Association. That's NAGA, not MAGA. That's NAGA, not MAGA. Native American Guardians Association has been around for a long time. They're an organization that emphasizes and promotes ensuring history of Native Americans will not be lost. Their cause that they speak for and work against is the oppression of history. They don't want to see the Native American experience on this land long before settlers came, colonists came, but certainly the history of the colonization and the creation of the United States of America, they do not want it to be lost. That is noble. That's honorable. That's correct. They have sent a stern demand letter to the new owners of the Washington Commanders, demanding that the name of the team, they're changing the name, they're not staying with Guardians. They are demanding that the name go back to Washington Redskins. It is a stern demand letter to the Washington Commanders. They said they want no part of erasure of Native American history, and they believe changing the name to anything other than Redskins is an erasure of history. For 87 years, this football team was the Washington Braves and then the Washington Redskins. In a 2016 Washington Post poll, according to the Native American Guardians Association, 90% of American Indians nationwide did not think Redskins was derogatory. NAGA went to court upon this name change. They, at one point, there was a group saying, well, the courts were saying that the Redskins could not trademark Redskins, that they could not trademark Washington Redskins. And those people won in court. So NAGA went in and took the side of the Washington Redskins and demanded that it be legal in America for them to trademark it if they want to trademark it. And NAGA won in state courts and federal courts that the Washington Redskins can indeed trademark Washington Redskins, that it's legal under free speech protection, that it's absolutely legal. NAGA is demanding the Washington Redskins educate, not eradicate, Native American history. They want the Redskins to do what the Chiefs are doing. The Chiefs spend millions of dollars a year working on Native American programs and education around the Midwest in what is called the Chiefs Kingdom. The Chiefs Kingdom largely is Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. And they work with different tribes in education, in support, in programs, and they have reach out programs. They invite these organizations to come to games. They oftentimes have their leaders sitting in the suite with the owner of the Chiefs. It's become a partnership. And as they've done this, there's been fewer and fewer people say, hey, we don't want the Chiefs to change names. So certainly it's self-serving for the Chiefs, or it would be self-serving for the Redskins. But it's also important to recognize that they mean it, that they're doing it, that they're saying, we truly want to honor your history within the name of our team. Remember, the Chiefs were named after H. Roe Bartle. His nickname was the Chief, just like a chief of police. He was the Chief. He was instrumental in bringing the Chiefs to Kansas City. They named the team the Chiefs, but very quickly, they had a tomahawk, an Indian logo, and an arrowhead logo. So clearly, Chief was named after the mayor, but everything they did themed around the marketing, the campaign, the logos, everything was Native American. And that's okay. This is huge progress. I am a big fan of NAGA and MAGA. In fact, maybe we should make up t-shirts. Let's say MAGA equals NAGA or something of that. This is a great organization. They're saying we're not offended by any of this. Okay? And Redskins is okay with us. Remember at the time they were changing the name on this podcast a couple of years ago, I mentioned a Native American high school in Arizona, and they're the Redskins, and they were outraged in Arizona. I don't remember exactly where they were, Yuma County, somewhere in Arizona, and the school was on Native land, on the reservation, and they're the Redskins. They call themselves the Redskins, and they love it, and their logo looks like the Redskins, and they've got a football team and the whole deal. And they were outraged, like, what the hell's going on? Folks, it's not ever the Native Americans. It's white people. Make no mistake about it. It's white liberals with nothing better to do, wanting to remind everybody that America sucks. That's it. That's all this has ever been. Native Americans don't care. They want the Cleveland Guardians to be the Cleveland Indians. They don't want my high school, Shawnee Mission North, to change their name to the Bison. They don't. They truly don't. Poll after poll after poll shows this. This is just white liberalism in action. And I hope they listen. It would be awesome if they renamed the team Redskins. It would be incredible. I doubt it will happen, but it would be awesome. I've been steadfast in this. They need to name the team the Pigskins because that's a big middle finger to all the liberals. We're going to keep our Skins logo. It's a script logo and shirts and stuff that they do. We'll keep that. We'll refer to ourselves as the Skins all day long. You can just call yourself the Washington Skins at that point. If your real name is Pigskins, you can just refer to yourself as the Skins, which is what every Skins fan calls the team anyway. They never called them the Redskins. They called them the Skins. Dolphins fans call their team the Fins. Everybody's got a little nickname. Charger fans call their team the Bolts. You've got names. There's all kinds of... Packers fans don't say Packers. They say the Pack. They shorten these things. And the Skins are the Skins. And if they name themselves the Pigskins, they can be the Skins again. So that would be a middle ground for now. And let's see how the thing would play out at that point. KKHI is brought to you by Back 9 Development. I had lunch with TJ Vilkanskis yesterday from Back 9 Development. He had part of his crew here, and they were headed to a project, a house that they're building in Kansas City. There was five of them going to a site meeting. This is the way they do business. This is very thorough. Every expert on his team was on the site in one day to make sure that everything is going. It's a beautiful custom home they're building, lakeside. It's just beautiful. And his detail is remarkable. They're going to be, the house is going to be on the Parade of Homes coming up in a few weeks. So I'll let you know if you want to go see this house that TJ's building. It's going to be really cool. It's very modern. It's going to be exceptional. He's also got a project they're going to be developing in the Lansing area with new homes available, with big lots available, acre plus lots that you can buy and build on in the Lansing area. So stay tuned for all that. Back 9 Development is your builder in Kansas City. They're your developer. If you'd like to reach out to TJ, he'd love to hear from you. We went to Slaps Barbecue is where we went. It was phenomenal. We stood outside in line. We stood in line for 30 minutes probably for Slaps Barbecue. It was worth every minute. In KCK, that ought to tell you right there what you need to know about this builder and developer. Slaps Barbecue, KCK. Come on, Kev, let's have lunch today. And I met the entire team, which was kind of cool. I've known TJ for a while, but I didn't really know his team all that well. And so we spent a great deal of time together and talking about the projects they're doing. This thing in Lansing is going to be really cool. He really, truly is a developer, and he builds great custom homes. And he's always just got great ideas. If you would like to have a touch of excellence in what you're doing next, just give TJ a call and see if you might match up. That's all. No obligation. Just go to lunch sometime, meet with him, and say, here's what I'm thinking. What do you think? If you've got an idea, he's probably got the answer. 785-236-0161. You can call TJ directly. 785-236-0161. It is back9development.com. They are awesome people. I mean, they're just incredible people. All of the sponsors are. We're going to have a footnote. There'll be a weekend edition. We're going to do a Meet the Sponsor podcast this weekend. Just a bonus pod with our friends over at Amazing Garage Floor, John and Heather. So that's going to be fun. We'll learn a little bit more about them, what makes them tick. He was in the service and cool people. So stay tuned for that. We're also brought to you by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC, home of the lifetime warranty. Right now, 1.9% available on some Chevy Silverados, 1.9% on Chevy Equinox, 0.9% on some GMC Sierras, 1.9% on GMC Acadia. Yeah, interest rates are back at Roberts Robinson, online at robertsrobinson.com. And bstock.net, we love to mention our retail sponsors on our Friday podcast. Back to school doorbusters. If your kids are headed back to college and need a TV, this is the best of the best. 43-inch Samsung TU7000 smart TV, $209. That's just insane. They have the Lenovo ThinkPad L14 for $499. This is an awesome machine for a student or a young professional for under $500. That's incredible. They're giving one of those away free this month. If you leave a review at Facebook or a Google review, you are entered to win one of the free prizes. Every month they give away free prizes. Or stop by in store to put your name into the drawing. 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. It's B-Stock. www.billywalters.net. Oh, there is an awesome new book coming out by Billy Walters. I've mentioned in the past that my good friend Jim Colbert is friends with Billy Walters. I've not met Billy Walters, but I know who Billy Walters is and have for decades. He's widely regarded as the best sports gambler of all time. He was hunted down by the IRS, the FBI, and any federal agency you can imagine when he built his compound in Las Vegas and began betting on sports offshore all over the world with giant sums of money. They tried and tried and tried to arrest him and jail him to stop him from doing this. He would take people in sort of a consortium, and they would invest money with him, and he would make the bets, and they would all profit accordingly when he won. He claims to have won some 65% or something of all of his sports wagers. He didn't just have a system. He got to a point where he had so much money, what Billy Walters would do would be, and this is the genius part, when you have that much money and that many people's money and you're working for them, he would take, 60 Minutes did a piece on him one time before he wound up in jail. We'll get to that in a moment. But as they were trying to get him and, you know, lock him up, the feds for many years for his gambling. Again, this even wasn't legal in Nevada because he's betting offshore. So this is international trade and everything else. And I'm sure there were, they thought he was avoiding taxes and maybe was. A lot of stuff going on here. He would take, I remember on the 60 Minutes piece, they showed the board. That it was college basketball. And in the background on his board at his house where he had this, it looked like a Star Trek set. He had all these line machines and everything up on the wall and TVs. And one of the games that was up on the wall behind there was, and they gave an example of, Kansas State, and this would have been many years ago. I think maybe Frank Martin would have been the coach at this time, maybe at Kansas State, when 60 Minutes did the piece on Billy Walters. They were playing somebody relatively obscure in Ohio. It wasn't Xavier. It wasn't Cincinnati. It was somebody else. I don't remember who. It might have been like the Ohio Bobcats, okay? K-State's playing Ohio, and they're a six-point favorite or something like that. And so he would jump in. The lines don't come out till Saturday morning. And he would bet $1 million on Kansas State and run that line from 6 to 7.5 or 8. And then the people in Vegas would go, Billy is on Kansas State. The word would get out very quickly. He'd tell a couple people. And then everybody, all the pros in Vegas would bet Kansas State. Then as the line got to, the line would move from opening at 6, it would wind up at 9. He would come in then and bet $2 million on Ohio. And so that's the bet I wanted was Ohio, and there it was. So, it was just the guy would influence lines and move them, and it wasn't just picking the winner every time. It was literally changing lines and then betting more on that team. Is that risky and crazy? Sure. He's got a new book coming out called Gambler, Secrets from a Life at Risk, and that is indeed the case. He writes in his book, and everybody's talking about this now. There are excerpts of the book out. He was very good friends with Phil Mickelson. Billy Walters was friends with a lot of golfers. That's how he became a friend of Jim Colbert's. He loved golfing. You couldn't not be Billy Walters' friends. Billy Walters thought he was an 8 handicap, would go out and play against pro golfers, let him play as a scratch instead of a +4, forget the handicap system. But it was unfair from the jump. He'd play him for $10,000, and the pro would win every time. And Billy didn't care. He liked the action. He thought, well, the 1 out of 5 times I go beat a pro with my handicap is the most thrilling thing ever. So this guy is a gambler. He played poker. He went to, he was made and broke many times gambling at Binion's. It is going to be an unbelievable book. So he became friends with Phil Mickelson, who he describes as the only gambler he ever knew that made more sports wagers than Billy. He said on one particular day, Phil Mickelson had 43 separate Major League Baseball bets on one day. Now remember, there's only 15 games in a day. So Phil was averaging 3 bets per game on each game that day in Major League Baseball. He said that particular day, Phil lost $143,500. But it gets more staggering than that. Billy kept track of all of it. They eventually became partners. Phil would say, I'll put the money up. When we win, you get half of it. So Phil's taking all the risk, playing golf, not wanting to worry about it, saying, Billy, text me and tell me who we're on. If I win, I'll split it with you. If I lose, it's my loss. So they did this for many, many, many years. Billy Walter says Phil Mickelson bet over $1 billion on sports while they were partners. $1 billion. Now, you're winning and losing as you go. Billy claims Phil lost over $100 million on those wagers. That in all total, Phil lost over $100 million. I believe that. I believe all of this. When you're betting $1 billion, you're winning some and losing some. Even if you have a terrible streak over time, it would have been hard to lose 20%, I would think. It'd be really hard to do. So Phil did this, and the two highlights of what's discussed in this book is that Phil called him one time and said, can you put $400,000 on the U.S. Ryder Cup team? He said, I'm busy with the Ryder Cup. I can't go make the bet. Can you make it for me? And Billy said, are you effing crazy? Have you never heard of Pete Rose? He said, I'm not putting that bet in for you. No chance. Walters writes, I never knew whether or not Phil made that bet. Phil has now come out and said he did not bet on the Ryder Cup and would never bet in golf and whatever. But I don't know that Phil can be believed on a lot of this stuff. Billy said, I kept track of all of his bets. He made 1,115 bets of $200,000. He made 858 bets of $100,000 to win that much. You have to bet more to win that. He said that those alone, just those alone that I tracked, those bets, totaled $311 million. And that didn't track the number of times that, you know, he called up and bet $1 million on a Super Bowl or this or that. Phil was wild with bets. These two got sideways. They invested in a company called Dean Foods that's buying stocks. So after all these years, Billy Walters was friends with the CEO of Dean Foods. And he bought the stock and he told his friend Phil, hey, I just bought some stock in Dean Foods. So Phil goes out and buys stock in Dean Foods. It is learned that the CEO of Dean Foods told some friends and people that something was going to happen with their stock and it was going to go up, which it did. And they went and went after the CEO of Dean Foods for doing this. And one of the persons he told was Billy Walters. So you can't take that information if you're Billy Walters and buy the stock. That's against the law for you to do as well. Now, the third person is immune. So if Billy Walters tells Phil Mickelson about it, Phil's not talking to the CEO of the company. He's just talking to a friend who's in on a play and may or may not know whether it's insider information or whatever, but Phil's off the hook. That's why 10 years ago or whenever this was, Phil didn't go to jail. You remember this? Phil paid back $1 million to the Securities and Exchange Commission and the IRS. He paid over $1 million back and renounced the stock and admitted that he shouldn't have been in on it or whatever, but did no jail time. But he didn't tell the feds what Billy Walters wanted him to tell the feds, and that is that Billy Walters didn't know it was inside information or didn't tell Phil it was inside information or anything of this nature. Didn't matter. Walters says Phil Mickelson could have kept him out of jail and didn't. Billy Walters went and served, I think, something like 30 months in Pensacola, Florida, in the white-collar condos down there that the feds have. They finally got him and locked him up. He served his time. If I'm not mistaken, Trump eventually pardoned him. He got out. He has so many different businesses. He has car dealerships and businesses all over America. Billy Walters is a very, very wealthy man and always has been. So they didn't break him by putting him in jail, but he's out now and he's written a book. He's been out for quite some time and he's written this book and this is going to be an amazing read. It's going to be incredible. And we're going to try to get Billy Walters on the podcast because he's friends with Colbert, and I'm hoping maybe Jim can help me get Billy Walters on the podcast. It will be one of the most interesting interviews you've ever heard. The footnote to this about all this coming out on Thursday is Rory McIlroy, who's playing in the PGA playoffs right now. He said, he gave a quote about Phil Mickelson wanting to bet $400,000 on the Ryder Cup. Rory said yesterday, quote, at least Phil can bet on the Ryder Cup this year as he's not part of it. Oof. Golfers be getting nasty against each other. Before we get to news, one final sports note here. The new Big 12 schools want the basketball tournament moved to Vegas from Kansas City. Oh, sure, if we're going to move it, let's take it from one state that doesn't have a team in a 16-team conference to another state that doesn't have a team in a 16-team conference. I think it's ludicrous they're going to have a 16-team league and the tournament is not played in a state that has a team. I think it's ludicrous. I love having Kansas City as much as the next guy, but the whole thing is just stupid. When all they do is grab for money, 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 money. They can't give a little bit back to the places where the schools are? There's all kinds of places to play this basketball tournament. You kidding me? The new schools want it to be in Vegas. There's a pretty good argument to be made for Vegas. Would it be the same experience as Kansas City? No. It wouldn't have the hometown feel and the welcoming and all that. But Vegas is Vegas, baby. It would be for a lot of fans, a lot of different kinds. You know what I see at the Big 12 tournament every year? I see the same fans, because I recognize the faces now after all these years. Same fans from Stillwater, Ames, you know, places like this. A gazillion KU fans, because it's a home tournament for them. And there's a sameness to having it here. It works. It works. People come. It works. Don't get me wrong. But they'd sell out in Vegas, too. They'd sell out in Vegas, too, and it'd be a different group of people. It would. It'd be different people going to the Big 12 tournament. What's wrong with that? I don't hate this idea. I don't hate a rotational basis. Maybe Kansas City 2 out of 3 years. Third year, play it in Vegas. Third year, play it in Orlando. A third year, play it in Phoenix. What's wrong with those places? Especially in March. What would be wrong with going to Phoenix or Orlando in March for a basketball tournament? That sounds pretty dang nice. Houston, golf weather, a lot of places you can go. I'm not trying to take something from Kansas City, and I think it will still remain the place that maybe supports it in a more quote-unquote college kind of way, but we've kind of lost college athletics. I don't hate the idea of playing that thing in Vegas. Our news today is brought to you by TicketsForLess.com. They've got a great special Friday and Saturday with the Royals. If you buy Royals tickets at TicketsForLess.com to see them play the Cardinals, use the promo code 1985 and you go to the all-inclusive VIP tailgate event 3 hours before first pitch. Burgers, hot dogs, all the sides you can eat, beer, seltzer, soft drinks, water included, all free. You buy your tickets, you get a free party. That's TicketsForLess.com. Promo code is 1985. Now, if you're looking for Chiefs tickets, preseason or regular season, your promo code reverts back to KKHI. Or for anything else or any concerts, TicketsForLess.com. Never any fees added. Better Business Bureau approved. It works every single time, and you save money every time with the promo code KKHI. Advantage Termite and Pest Control is your new pest control company. Give them a call and get signed up for the annual service. Just take it off your plate. It's so easy to do, and you'll never see a bug or a critter around your place again. AdvantageTPC.com. 913-768-8989. We've been customers for over 20 years. I would never consider anyone else other than Advantage. And our whole cul-de-sac pretty much now has Advantage Termite and Pest Control. They love that. You and your neighbors get together and get in. If you're close with your neighbors and you all switch or change or whatever, you'll all get discounts because they can do it all in one day at the same place. You know how much that saves in like driving around from house to house? If they can get 3 houses on a street or 4 houses on a street, you can all save money. Ask them about it. AdvantageTPC.com. Cross Kitchens is Kansas City's remodeler. Online at CrossKitchensKC.com. Again, another great conservative business where you can call the owner straight up. Just call the owner. 816-898-7047. Ask for Tim Cross at CrossKitchensKC.com. Family owned and operated in Belton, Missouri. On to the news on this Friday, and Joe Biden. Sometimes, even when he gets the words out right, he just says the wrong things. Joe Biden is on this climate thing out west. He's been in Utah and the Grand Canyon and, oh, gosh, we're going to save the planet and all this stuff. And he's talking about all the great work that they're doing and what they're getting done from the Inflation Reduction Act. So not only did he lie to everybody, he now admitted in a speech, quote, the Inflation Reduction Act had less to do with reducing inflation, unquote, than it did climate and new energy and new ways of doing things. He now says, because when Biden gets to a place, he never is speaking to all Americans, ever. He's always pandering to a certain group. When he speaks, he's talking to them. So he's around all these climate change people. And he says to them what we said all along about the Inflation Reduction Act, because he's what? Wanting to take credit for this? He's wanting to take a victory lap because he's in front of the people that love him. For all this money for climate, all your money for climate, which is a hoax. He says to them, I wish I hadn't called it that. meaning I wish I hadn't named this the Inflation Reduction Act. He's afraid that this is going to be the legacy of his presidency, and because it's not called the Green New Deal, he's not going to be remembered and given credit for it. Now he's thinking about his legacy. I wish I hadn't called it that. Well, we wish you hadn't called it that too, because if you called it the Climate Act, it wouldn't have passed. You're a complete and utter fraud, sir. Your party's a complete and utter fraud. Everything that you do is bait and switch, lie, then claim you didn't lie. That's all it is. He promised lower inflation and deficit reduction through the Inflation Reduction Act. It's done neither. It didn't help inflation one bit. It hurt it by more government spending and cutting the deficit. Are you kidding me? This thing was what, just under $1 trillion or something? That cuts the deficit? Money we don't have, you're spending on things we don't need. Cuts the deficit? God, what is wrong with our country? What is wrong with people that they don't see this? This is not complicated. This is actually easier than balancing your checking account. It's not hard to see what all this crap is. They are absolute frauds. They name a climate agenda initiative the Inflation Reduction Act. And people buy it? Now he has remorse because he wants credit for this being a Green New Deal. He wants to rename this and get credit for it. My God. And doesn't even realize while he's doing this what he's saying to the rest of America. And that is, I lied to you. I lied to you. I'm a fraud, and I got away with it. It's literally what he's saying to the rest of us. And it's true. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin says he's done with the Democrat Party, but doesn't really like the Republican Party either and what the brands stand for. And he's thinking about switching to becoming an independent. This is all part of that no labels party thing. Look, just go all in, Joe. Switch parties right now, become an independent for a few weeks, and then announce you're running as the candidate for no labels for president. Please get on the ballot. Please get on the ballot. Give Democrats somebody other than Joe Biden to vote for. Same thing with RFK. We'll take our chances. If you load that ballot up with Trump, Biden, RFK, and Manchin, we'll take our chances that the people that love Donald Trump will always vote for him, and he's going to get the most votes. I will absolutely take my chance in that one. Splitting this field up would be the best thing for Trump to win. He has clearly the biggest and most fervent and loyal base. This is not disputed. We got most of his supporters saying they would vote for him if he were in jail. So it's not disputed. So I just do it, Joe. Joe Manchin's out there talking about switching to become an independent. Not only do that, forget running for Senate. West Virginia's not going to reelect you. They're not. You're done there. Go ahead and run for president. Get on those ballots. Go get you about 7 or 8% of the vote. I'm all in on that. Same thing with RFK, who is making news the way you want to make news. RFK got a great boost this week when the actor, Woody Harrelson, wore an RFK Jr. hat and took a picture with another actress or something. They put it on social media. It wasn't about RFK. The tweet or whatever wasn't, hey, I'm an RFK fan. He just had an RFK Jr. hat on. And the liberals have gone mad. They've lost their mind that they've lost Woody Harrelson. Like, this was a Hollywood pot-smoking lib that they've loved in all these movies for years and years and years. And as he's gotten older, he's like, well, wait a second. You people are crazy. All right? Y'all are crazy. Woody Harrelson's not a conservative. He's not. He sees things on both sides that he likes. There's nothing wrong with that. I'll take Woody Harrelson, and I'll take his endorsement of RFK Jr. And if Hollywood is freaking out on the left, and the people that are not Hollywood, politicians and liberal influencers, are saying, remember, you can never trust a Hollywood liberal, or they're not role models. We're seeing a lot of this. Actors are not role models. Hollywood's not role models. Boy, they came after Woody Harrelson. He's getting destroyed. And this is mostly about COVID and nothing else. He's got all kinds of liberal things he likes, but he's pissed off about COVID. He didn't like the lockdowns. He didn't like the lies. He didn't like the masks. He didn't like the shutdown. He didn't like any of it. He spoke out on Saturday Night Live, and he's clearly speaking out with RFK Jr., who the far left thinks is wacko because he's anti-vax. This is good stuff. That's good for RFK. That's good for Woody Harrelson. I don't know how RFK does when the primaries hit. I don't know. Biden's not going to debate him, I don't think. Why isn't the No Labels Party saying, why don't we go get RFK? Wouldn't that be a thing? Why Joe Manchin? Why one of them? What's wrong with RFK? If they get on all 50 ballots, go. He's going to try to run in the primary. It's going to be stacked. Democrat machine will squash him. You know that will happen. Just give me, I think our best chance for Trump is a third party candidate. I guess that's what I'm trying to say here today. More devastation in Maui, the worst disaster in Hawaii history. The death count is now 55 and counting. They have rescued about 100 people from the water. I can't even imagine the scene of people with no way out jumping into the ocean. It's hilly there, and the fire was coming down the hill, which is where the trees were. Then the buildings all caught on fire, and it surrounded this town where everybody was, Lahaina. And Lahaina's gone. I mean, it's just gone. There's no, hey, these buildings burned. It's gone. This is going to be billions and billions of dollars and years to rebuild Maui into the tourist destination that it once was. It is still burning. There's still fire all over Maui. It's forest. It's trees. It's a beautiful place. It's all burning. This was a, you know, once in a thousand years event where something catches fire. They have not identified exactly how the fire started or whatever, whether it was a camper or whether it was natural. Fires can start naturally. They happen. And they've had dry and hot conditions. And then some winds from a hurricane hundreds of miles away hit the island, and they got 50, 60, 70 mile an hour winds, and it just became a tinderbox. And it was devastating. And we talked about this on yesterday's podcast, but we want to remind everybody that we're thinking about those people in Maui. That's a very sad thing. And they're saying now that you can't even calculate at this point the damage, the devastation, and what it's going to take. Right now it's about search and rescue. There's probably still people in the water that are alive on a flotation device. They might have floated out to sea somewhere. Everything is possible. They could be around the island. The tides could have taken them around the island. They're looking all over in the water for people still. A lot of people lost and missing. We pray for the best there. Absolutely pray for the best. All right, before our final, I want to thank a couple more sponsors here. The Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com. Great weekend to get yourself a new pocket knife. The New Car Image. I keep getting emails from folks saying, what's that phone number over there at New Car Image? I want to get my car detailed. 816-499-1470. They're online at thenewcarimage.com. Buck Roofing and Construction. We had more rain this week. We're getting more this weekend, it looks like. It's just get the free roof inspection, man. If your roof is more than 5 years old, get the roof inspection. Make sure you're okay. 913-384-2680. It's free when you mention the podcast. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing inspected the roof over your head. And we love our retailers on the weekends. Joslyn's Jewelry is a great place to go on Saturday and find something sparkly and shiny. And maybe get your older stuff that needs a little polishing. Get it cleaned up a little bit. It's all at Joslyn's Jewelry, the jewelry you recommend to your friends and family. Our final kind of goes back to our theme of Phil Mickelson and sports gambling. This scandal in Iowa is out of control now. Iowa State and Iowa, as you know, have been investigated for their athletes betting on sports. Betting on sports is legal in Iowa. It's against NCAA rules. I'm not sure why the state of Iowa is so involved in this or why they care. They're decimating their football teams. This is an NCAA matter. It's a school matter. It's not really a state of Iowa matter. But the state of Iowa is investigating these players and their accounts, and they have found it all. They have records of all of it. And this is Big Brother. This is people dipping into your business of, make no mistake about this, there's nothing illegal here until we heard one thing that could absolutely be considered illegal that came out yesterday. Five more players were targeted. Get this, Iowa State now has five starting football players implicated in this that probably won't get to play. One of them now, defensive lineman Isaiah Lee, has been identified as an Iowa State player that bet against his team. Whoa, now we're on to something different. That's an entirely different deal. You go find a ring of players in college that are betting against their team, and we're talking big time jail time. Ooh, those are felonies. That's fraud. That's unbelievable. Isaiah Lee is his name. Defensive lineman, he is accused of betting against his team, Iowa State, as a player at Iowa State. So there's a whole different take on what's going on there. That's getting wilder and wilder. And I guess it's a shame for Iowa State and Iowa. They're getting players picked off right and left. Boy, what a great lesson for the other football coaches around the country. Don't do it, guys. Don't do it. If you're doing it on your phone, the government can see it. The first thing I would tell any incoming player is put your damn phone down. Do as little on your phone as possible. The entire world at some point can see what's in your phone. We're seeing what's in Hunter Biden's phone. That's what I'd say. If these Iowa State players could go to jail and we have Hunter Biden's phone and computer, they'll get yours. They can see everything. There is nothing private. The point is, the only thing private anymore is a private conversation. That's the only thing that's private anymore. That's it. Lesson learned. Hey, everybody, have a great weekend. I hope it's a good one. Looks like we're going to maybe get a little bit of rain on Friday night, but then pretty good weather over the weekend. We're running out of summer weekends, pool, golf, all that stuff. There's football on all over the place this weekend, preseason football, if you're inclined to watch that. Or if you're headed out to the Royals, they're playing the Cardinals. That's always fun. Should be some fun crowds. The Royals are playing well. They lost 3 out of 4 in the hardest possible fashion you can lose 3 out of 4, but they're playing good baseball. They're pitching their eyeballs out right now. We got a couple starters in Cole Riggins and Brady Singer that are worth watching. Absolute studs the way they're pitching right now. It's kind of fun. You're headed to the ballpark. Have a great time and have a great weekend. And we'll be back on Monday with another episode of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.